Well, as we celebrate 10 years on the radio, there's a TV milestone to talk about. This week marks the 5,000th episode of Judge Judy. What an amazing run. So we've got Judge Judy Scheindlin on the line. Hello, Judge.
Hi, good morning to you.
Good morning. Yeah, I was hesitant there. Is it Miss Judge, Miss Scheindlin? What do you prefer?
You can do Judge Scheindlin, you can do Judge Judy, you can do Judy, you can do whatever feels comfortable to you.
All right, well, thank you. I appreciate that. So what a long run for your show. It's been, 20 years, right?
We are in our 20th year, which is really sort of remarkable, considering that when I first thought of this process, I was hoping they wouldn't get the hook out after 6 months. You know, we started it as I was in my early 50s. It was a sort of third career for me. I've been in family court as a lawyer and then as a judge. And when, after 25 years, this opportunity came about, and I said, you know, you never know where an adventure is going to be around the corner. So we tried it. And here we are 20 years later. It seems like a heartbeat ago.
That's incredible. Now, I'm just doing the math here. I've got it that you started the show when you were 7 years old. So I guess 27 years old you are, right?
I would like to say that that's true. But I was actually 52 years old when I started the program.
Well, let's talk about that, because, you know, especially in Hollywood, we hear that, you know, women don't get opportunities out of their, you know, late 20s, maybe even early 30s. And here you are, you know, the queen of daytime TV right now. So that's got to say a lot about the interest that people have in your program.
Well, you know, I'm not an actress. And I think the definition of what is, first of all, even in the Hollywood business, the real celebrity business, and I don't consider myself one of those people. I'm sort of an anomaly in the business. But even in the movie-making business, women in their 40s and 50s and beyond, and 60s, are enjoying wonderful roles in movies, wonderful, meaty roles in television production. I don't think that anyone should let their age define them. You know, if you're good at your craft, whatever that is, there will be a place for you.
Absolutely.
And I'm lucky that I'm just very fortunate that I had a skill, which I was trained to do. I had a career, and I loved what I did, and I was pretty good at what I did, and I was given an opportunity to try it in a different medium. But I think that if you prepare yourself for anything, Jeremy, and if you prepare yourself and you become expert at it, people will find you in whatever business or career that is.
Oh, absolutely. And so, you know, you've had, well, you just won the Daytime Emmy for Best Courtroom and Legal Program. You've been number one for 6 consecutive years. So obviously, yes, you know, the fans love you. Do you hear from them much and why they love the show? I know it's just entertaining to me, but do you ever hear specifics from people as to why they're tuned in day after day?
Yes. Some like the sort of throwback to lots of years ago when everybody understood what the parameters were and we knew what was right and what was wrong, not necessarily what was PC, but good behavior, bad behavior. Nobody made excuses for bad behavior. It was bad behavior. It wasn't because somebody was disrespectful or you weren't, you know, you didn't get the 6 boxes of the 6 crayons in a box when you were 3. If you were naughty, you were naughty. Right. And you take responsibility for that, and then you put a period, and you move on, and you try not to replicate the bad behavior. That's really my message. And I think that there is still a longing for that, not only in this country, but in many countries, because our show is in some 130 countries all over the world, and does well, and translates well all over the world. I think that there are a large number of people who really say, good behavior is good behavior, bad behavior is bad behavior. Let us not make excuses for bad behavior and reward it. And let's applaud good behavior. Let's applaud people who, you know, lift themselves up and get a good education and or get good jobs and support their families and nurture their children and lead responsible lives. Those are the people we want to celebrate. So I do hear from people, not only in this country, but all over the world, that seem to be comfortable with that message.
Seems like in today's world, it's strange how far we have not come, that, yeah, we need some better manners and a little more decency, don't you think?
I think so, a lot. A lot. I don't believe in rewarding bad behavior. And I think there are certain things that you're supposed to do as a citizen, and as a parent, and as a child, and as a brother or a sister, or as a grandparent, that you're supposed to do with your family and your neighbors and your friends, and you don't necessarily have to be rewarded. You know, the government shouldn't be in a situation saying, well, we're going to reward you for good behavior. No. We should applaud you, say, good job. That's what you're supposed to do. And we've gone far astray at that. And I think that more people than you think want to say, if we don't get back to some of those basic values of being a good citizen, a good parent, taking care of your children, taking care of your parents when they get old, participating, actively participating, just because that's what you're supposed to do, then I don't necessarily think that we're going to be as successful a country as we have been.
Okay, so I have a fan story for you. It's about me, Judge Judy, all right? So I watched your show. It was when I was a teenager. I was watching, and there was a little boy on there who kept saying, yeah, and you told him to say yes. And I have never forgotten that, and ever since then, I have always said yes, and I even correct my nephews now. I just thought I'd share that story with you.
It's an interesting story. So what you really just said is how one person, because you listen to something and you said, you know, she's absolutely right. Yeah, is a familiar street kind of response.
Right.
Especially in a courtroom setting. And that made an impression on you.
It did.
I'll tell you a story that made an impression on me.
Sure.
And it's actually a good way to wrap this part of our discussion.
Sure.
When I was a little girl, we lived in an apartment building in those years, in the same building with my grandparents, my maternal grandparents, and two of my aunts and uncles. And my grandfather was in business, and he was a man in his 70s at that time. They lived on the fifth floor on one side, we lived on the fourth floor on the other side of the building. But on one of the Jewish high holy days, I noticed that my grandfather was taking the stairs to his apartment, which was on the fifth floor. And I said to my father, why is Grandpa taking the stairs on his holiday? And my father said, well, he's in business, and sometimes maybe he doesn't do always the right thing in business, and sometimes he cuts a few corners. So on this holiday, we ask God to forgive us for all our sins, and we don't do certain things that we're accustomed to doing, like taking the elevator and eating, you know? And as a very young child, I will tell you how that translated to me. That translated to me as, if I do the right thing all year, I can always take the elevator. One little story from, I must have been maybe 8 or 9, but that said to me, you can't absolve yourself of all the bad things that you do during the year in one day. So it's probably the right thing to do, the smart thing to do, to try every day not to do anything that is morally wrong. That makes sense to you?
It does.
It's just another story of the story you just told me. Yeah, it's disrespectful. And yes, makes you sound as an educated, respectful person in conversation. So I think that we all have the ability to touch somebody's life in a positive way. And I like to think that in some ways, the things that I do, not every day when I work, not even perhaps every week, but maybe once a month, I can touch somebody, that they take something away, like you took something away all those years ago, and you took it, and now you're doing it generationally with your nephew.
For sure. It's absolutely right.
So that's really all you can hope you can do in a career.
Well, I think so. And especially, you know, when you see the types of shows that are on television these days, are you really taking anything positive away from most of them?
I think that there are too many shows that lauded bad behavior.
Right.
And, but if you are pandering to the lowest common denominator, then what you're going to get is a lot of lowest common denominators.
For sure. So what is your opinion on things like that? We always hear that video games, movies, television, music all have an effect, and that's why maybe the younger generations are a little bit more inconsiderate or violent and things like that. Do you agree with that? Where do you think that comes from?
Well, I actually place squarely on the shoulders of parents the responsibility to provide a moral compass for their children. And I think that blaming other things, blaming a teacher for not keeping a child inspired and therefore your child misbehaves, blaming a video for someone's acting out behavior, blaming a teenage television program for someone's teenage pregnancy, to me just passes the buck. Would I prefer that they not be there to set any sort of example, or to say that we as a society sort of say, yes, that's reasonable behavior? Sure, I would prefer that they not be there. But I know that they're there, and I mean, I have children, I have grandchildren, some of them are older, and it's up to their parents to say to them, listen, this is a video game. This isn't life. You know, we live this kind of life in our home. Not just to say it, but to live it. Because children really learn from the closest example that they have. And if you are setting that moral example for children in the way you live your life, chances are your children won't be tainted by all the negative crap that's out there.
And I think that, you know, back in the day, when my brothers and I had different events that we were at, our parents were focused on watching us, encouraging us. And now I was at my nephew's soccer practice last weekend, and so many of the parents are, their heads are down and they're on their cell phones. They're not even paying attention. So I think that parenting has sort of shifted over the generations too, it seems. What do you think?
Let's
swing back to...
That makes sense.
Oh, absolutely, it does. Of course it does. That's why I want everybody listening right now to take note of these things. But let's swing back around very quickly. I finally want to ask you, if somebody is coming on Judge Judy, onto your show, into your courtroom, what are some absolute musts and must-not do's when stepping into Judge Judy's courtroom?
Don't come looking as if you're going to a beach function.
Okay.
I'll give you just the fast, because you only have one chance to make a first impression.
Right.
And that's when you're walking down and taking your seat.
Okay.
So if you look as if you're going to a beach, I'm not going to take you seriously.
Okay.
That's my first impression.
All right.
And what is the do's? The do's are, be prepared, have your evidence in my courtroom or any other small claims courtroom, mm-hmm. and tell the truth.
I was going to say, after all this time, you must be able to spot a liar, like, from a mile away.
You can't always, but the general rule of thumb is, if the story doesn't make sense, it's usually not true.
Judge Judy airs in syndication on all over the world. You said 100 and some countries all over the world, right?
We do.
All right. Well, so people will check their local listings, and celebrating 5,000 episodes, Judge Judy Scheinland, thank you so much. It's been great chatting with you today.
Thank you. It was a joy. Thank you, Jerry.
Great.
Bye now.
Thanks. Take care.
Bye.